you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are in James chapter 3. Last week, James was discussing the definition of the kind of faith that is true and is a saving faith. We also discussed his definition of works, and we concluded that works are a result of having that saving faith in our souls. We said that any work or duty, as I prefer to call them, merits a reward only if they are done by the Spirit when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit by faith. In doing our duty, we must not begrudge what we do. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and He loves those who have the heart and mind to do His work without grumbling, murmuring, or complaining. Those with this attitude need not expect a reward for it. We know that we cannot please God as long as we're walking in the flesh. We must do all things in the Lord, and because of our love for the Lord and others. It's a love walk when we're spiritually minded, because God is love. In chapter 2, we discussed the importance of having approval before men as much as possible concerning our profession of faith. James encouraged the believer to show good works in their conduct, works that would give a good report to sinners as well as to saints. We are not to discriminate nor have respect of persons to anyone. He plainly declares that it is a sin. James seems to be trying to teach us to go on to perfection after we are born again. In chapters 1 and 2, he discussed two things in our striving for perfection. Perfection in patience and brotherly love. And today in our lesson, we're going to be talking about perfection in wisdom. Now in chapter 1, he told us to let patience have its perfect work. Don't be impatient in the trial set before us. Don't give up before it's finished, but be patient. How do we know when patience has its perfect work? Patience has its perfect work when we can rejoice in the middle of tribulation and trials. Do you ever wonder why you keep having the same old trial over and over? Maybe it's because we haven't rejoiced yet. The old saints used to say it was getting the victory. And when we get the victory over the trial, whether the trial is over or not, then we can rejoice in the midst of that trial. James also told us to be perfect in brotherly love. Love fulfills all the commandments, and Jesus said there's no law against it, no condemnation. It is perfect. In today's lesson, James is telling us to control our tongue by wisdom. Now, controlling the tongue is the biggest battle in our quest for perfection. He says that the tongue is an unruly evil and cannot be tamed, but he does indicate that with wisdom that comes from God, we can overcome it. We can forbid it to speak. We can just say nothing, which is the hardest thing to do because we want to give our opinion and have some input into the conversation. This is a problem with all believers, whether we want to admit it or not. Now, how do we go about keeping from saying something that we shouldn't say? Well, I wouldn't advise putting tape over your mouth to keep quiet because it will take the hide off your lip when you take it off. Now, don't ask me how I know that, but just take my word for it. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man who has wisdom." The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. He tells us how to avoid issues, that can cause us to say or do the wrong thing. In Proverbs 22:17-29, he gives us 30 instructions in how to be wise. Let me read these to you. Listen to the words of the wise, Solomon is telling us. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings deep within yourself, always ready on your lips. I am teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. I have written 30 sayings for you, filled with advice and knowledge. And in this way you may know the truth and bring an accurate report to those who sent you. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or exploit the needy in court. For the Lord is their defender. He will injure anyone who injures them. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Do not co-sign another person's note or put up a guarantee for someone else's loan. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. Do not steal your neighbor's property by moving the ancient boundary markers set up by your ancestors. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than ordinary people. Now he goes on in chapter 23. He says, when dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat, and don't desire all the delicacies. Deception may be involved. Don't weary yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacy. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. They're always thinking about how much it costs. You will vomit up the delicious food they serve, and you will have to take back your words of appreciation for their kindness. And don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice. Don't steal the land of defenseless orphans by moving the ancient boundary markers, for their Redeemer is strong. He himself will bring their charges against you. Commit yourself to instruction. Attune your ears to hear words of knowledge. My child, how will I rejoice if you become wise? Yes, my heart will thrill when you speak what is right and just. Don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. For surely you have a future ahead of you. Your hope will not be disappointed. So Solomon instructs us in wisdom. He's telling us to avoid problems. Troubles and crises can make the tongue unruly. There are circumstances and people that we need to avoid. And when we're caught up with the moment, we tend to forget who we are in Christ. And when we're talking to people, we also forget that we're also talking to God when we speak. He hears it all. How soon we've forgotten what our Father tells us to do and fall into sin with what we say. It really takes action on our part to avoid situations and people that push our buttons. We know who these people are, and we know they're going to try to provoke us, so we should just stay away from them as much as is possible. Do yourself and them a favor by just ignoring them. Treat them as you would any stranger on the street. Do them no harm. Pray for them in your closet, but don't run with them. Speak cordially and pass on by, and be about your business that is at hand. Another thing that gets us into trouble is to meddle in other men's matters. We're to give advice when asked, but keep it simple and point them to the Lord. But we're told to mind our own business. A person who speaks everything that comes to mind is very unwise, and his words can be poisonous and full of venom. We are the salt of the earth, but only for seasoning. It doesn't give us the liberty to hurt people in the process. Verse 12 lets us know that a salty spring cannot produce fresh water. It's impossible not to offend in word and deed because some people have their feelings on their sleeves. But rudeness doesn't care who it offends. Proverbs 26:18-19 speaks of the person who doesn't consider the destructive power of his words. He is compared to a madman who throws firebrands, which is burning torches, arrows, and death, at his neighbor. And then afterwards he says, "I was only joking." In verse 1 of today's lesson, James speaks about the role of teachers of the gospel. He says that we are held to more stricter standards in the things we say than those we instruct. We will be held accountable to God for how we've treated our hearers in our teachings. If we teach others, we have the responsibility to strive to live up to what we say. We're not to use our tongues to lord it over others in our teaching. We are not to be a master to them, but instead a servant in the things we say. We are all to be servants in the work of the Lord, as Christ was. Another problem area of the tongue is because we judge others. James tells us in the case of judges that they will be held to the same standards as teachers. So what we expect of others, we're obligated to live up to ourselves. How high are the standards that we've set for others? Do we have the same standards for ourselves? Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." It's a solemn warning to us all. Now in James 3 verses 2 through 5, he speaks of bridling the tongue. In these verses where James is speaking of the tongue, he's not talking about our physical tongue, but he's speaking in symbolic terms in two areas. The word tongue means actual words that we speak. Another meaning is to symbolize the heart. So keep in mind, when we say the word tongue, we are really addressing heart sins. Even though he's using the word tongue to symbolize the spoken word, his real message is to address a deceitful heart, which Paul described in Romans 1. It is that old human nature, the flesh, alive and well when we speak evil words. In verse 15, James calls it devilish. The root cause of evil words comes directly from the heart of man. In Matthew 12:34-37, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18-20, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." Every person upon this earth is capable of every horrible deed that we read about in the news today. Even the born again is still influenced by the evil, lustful heart of flesh. Without the daily cleansing work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, we could quickly submit to the evil nudging of a deceitful heart. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need strength from a higher power to help us overcome this lust in the flesh and the tongue. The realization of knowing this humbles me, because I know where I would be without the righteousness of Jesus living in my soul. I dare not trust in myself, but only in the power of God to overcome this world. To receive His power is to talk to Him in prayer with hymns and scripture in our heart. We're to walk with the mind of Christ and not the mind of this world. And in verse 3, he talks about an unruly horse. He says we can put a small bridle bit in his mouth and we can make him go where we want him to go. And if the rider of the horse wants to go in one direction and the horse wants to go in the opposite direction, the rider can pull on the reins and the horse will feel pain or discomfort, but it won't be long until the horse decides to obey the rider. And we're told to bridle our tongue in this same way. We are to keep it in check. Verse 4, James uses another illustration, the helm of a ship. A small helm or rudder can navigate a large ship. James says the tongue is very small, yet it rules our entire being. The words we say may seem small to us, but our words are powerful. They will judge us and we are saved by our confession. In verse 14, he tells us that evil boasting is forbidden because it's against the truth. Those things that are said in boasting are almost always a lie. Because in our boasting, we fail to give credit where credit is due. If we have envy and strife, lying and vain glorying, James said, don't boast about it. Keep quiet, because others can discern that they are lies. In verse 16, James tells us when we boast in evil words, confusion and every evil work is present. I heard an old story about a lady who had a large bag of feathers that she was carrying to her neighbor's house down the street. She was trying to do a good deed. The wind was blowing as she went out the front door, and she never realized the bag had a hole in it. And by the time she walked several blocks to her neighbor's house, the bag was almost empty. And as she looked behind her, the feathers were flying in the wind and were carried away in every direction as far as she could see. There was no way to regather all those feathers again. Words are like that. Once they are spoken, they cannot be regathered. Feathers do not weigh much and seem such a small thing. They can be used for great comfort when made into a feather bed or pillow and can be a blessing. But a tongue that spreads evil and lies do much damage, and as the feathers, they can never be regathered again. Verse 17 is discussing wisdom. Psalms 111:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In verses 13 through 18, he speaks of two different types of wisdom. An earthly wisdom that is sensual and devilish, and a heavenly wisdom that is godly and brings forth fruit of the Spirit. James tells us to have the wisdom that's from above and comes from heaven. He lets us know that this wisdom that comes from beneath comes from man himself. Harsh words bring on disputes, and disputes bring on fighting, but it all began with harsh words. Love is absent when we have problems with others. It is in those times that our tongue can be unruly. In verse 10, James says we bless God while we curse men. He said this should not be the case. James told us in chapter 1 that if a man does not control his tongue, his religion is in vain. Most of the time we are offended by others because we don't love the offender or even ourselves enough to dismiss what is said. Our insecurities help us to be offended. A person who is offended respects the opinion of the one offending them, even though what they say may be a lie. Now, this is ironic that the offended respects the opinion of the offender, because they may in fact despise them. Another irony is that the offended wants to be loved and wants the offender to show mercy to them. But at the same time, they care nothing for the offender and show no mercy to them by ignoring what is said. It is love and mercy to ignore an offense. That is contrary to what this world would call strength. They would view this as a weakness, while God views it as love and mercy, because He was kind to the unkind. It's a vicious trap of the enemy to be offended, and it's totally self-serving. And how many of us offend and are offended quite often? I would dare say too many. So let's put evil circumstances in its proper place in our life. What are the consequences of our action when we take matters into our own hands and we don't leave it up to God? It may be a matter of life and death how we handle it. Let God handle the situation, because He knows how. In Proverbs 10:19-21, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom." Oh, what foolishness this world offers, and oh, how much in vain is its heights, because it shall soon pass away and fall to nothing. There's a song called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." It tells about how trials and troubles can seem so large to us and hinder us from serving the Lord as we should. But when we focus on the things of Jesus, everything changes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Verse 17 and 18 paints a lovely picture of the kind of wisdom that's from above. True wisdom is God's gift. It produces holiness in the heart and mind. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It listens. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, without hypocrisy. It has no disguises, no deceits. It's sincere and open, steady and uniform, consistent. It's not double-minded nor wavering. True wisdom will go on to sow the fruits of righteousness in peace. Now, there's a cost when we're born again to walk in perfection. It will cost us bridling our tongues to control what we say and to guard our hearts as to what we think. What will it cost, you might ask? It will cost everything. It will cost pleasing yourself in this life, forfeiting your own will to the will of God. It will cost you your identity, the person that you've always been. It will cost our comfort zone, our pride and boasting in what this world calls success. It may even cost us our physical life, but for sure it will cost our denying ourselves and picking up our cross and following Him. Are we willing to wake from sleep to discipline ourselves and refill our lamps with the oil of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit? If after taking up our cross for Him, we look back with yearning for this world, He said He'd have no pleasure in us. So we sell out completely and totally to the Lord. Lord, we'll do what You want us to do. We refuse to hurt people who have hurt us. We refuse to steal, kill, and destroy and do the work of the devil, because we're going to serve You, Lord. What will we gain if we pay this price? We gain Christ and eternal life and our lives even in this life. That's what Jesus said that he would give us, life and more abundant life at that. Now I want to read you James 3 in the New Living Translation. The title here is Controlling the Tongue. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So blessing and cursings come out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. True wisdom comes from God, is the heading here. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Please pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that we have power with you to help us to overcome the trials of this life, that we can obey you and walk in your light as you walk. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today, and if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. Lady.